Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. In East Lansing, where the big news is all here today. I know we'll deal with other things that are emotional and so forth, but the big news is here today because Mark D'Antonio moments ago stepped down as the head football coach at Michigan State. He has been here for 13 years. He stepped down. This is, in my opinion, not unexpected. It is something that a year and a half, when I was here 2 years ago, I saw this day coming and talked about it on the air. There was a possibility. And then, of course, the other part would be Penn State and Michigan State in a big basketball game coming up tonight here at the Breslin Center. We'll get to Roy Halladay and a statue and the emotion of that coming up a little bit later. That's a really nice thing. But this is the big story. This is an impact resignation right here in the Big Ten. Again, I am not surprised by it. I'm also not surprised by the timing because I think they wanted to make sure their recruiting was done for this year before he stepped down. But they have been hit by problems over the years. They've been hit by scandal over the years here. And it's not, and I'm not talking about Larry Nassar. There have been other issues surrounding that football program where, and again, I'm somebody, I sit there and I put together a lot of my prep charts in the offseason, April, May. Michigan State's won over the last 7 years that I've had to change more than anything else because of players being either suspended, arrested. I mean, to the point where, I mean, it becomes noticeable to me because I have to make the changes. I'm like, geez, okay, he's not there. All right, let's take a moment and look up that guy. Why isn't he here? Oh, geez, look at that. I mean, there's been a few of those along the way. And you could see the stress of it getting to him. He had a great run. He had a great run here. Prior to his arrival, Michigan State had just 2 10-win seasons and 7 bowl victories before he got here. He's had 6 10-win seasons and 6 bowl wins. So he did a great job in terms of the on-the-field product. Survived a heart attack. But this is something that when I was here 2 years ago, and it turned out that when I was here 2 years ago, and this, you know, this was, the Larry Nassar issues were really at the forefront. I mean, to the point where Patrick Chambers did not do the press conference here afterward after that game because it was so contentious at that time that why do you need the opposing coach to go in there and talk because they're going to ask you about it and you're removed from it, so don't talk. And so he didn't do it. That's because they played Wisconsin right before Penn State when it initially came out, then this one. And Tom Izzo's out there answering questions every day. Well, this was also the same time that ESPN put out stories about the football program separate from Nassar. And, look, the feeling was how much more can Mark D'Antonio survive at Michigan State? And finally today was the point where at 63 – he decided that he's not going to push forward with this, and he stepped down today. So that's a big one, here. Here's some of the issues. Lawyers for former recruiting director Curtis Blackwell allege that D'Antonio committed multiple NCAA violations. This is the story. I'm not saying, and again, alleged is the key word. Okay, alleged. Blackwell is suing D'Antonio and others at Michigan State for wrongful termination. He says he was made into a scapegoat as the football program and the university responded to a series of sexual assault allegations in the early months of 2017. University police arrested Blackwell on suspicion of obstruction as part of a sexual misconduct investigation involving three former Michigan State football players in January of 2017. So that's 3 years ago. He was not charged with a crime. Blackwell was not charged with a crime. He was suspended indefinitely in February of 2017. And 4 months later, his year-to-year contract was not renewed. So when asked in the summer of 2017, D'Antonio said Blackwell's contract was not renewed due to philosophical differences. Blackwell believes that he was let go so the football program and the university could blame him for a recruiting class that featured four players who were all convicted of crimes related to sexual incidents within their first year on campus. Blackwell says it was D'Antonio's decision, not his, to bring the most controversial of those players to East Lansing. And see, that was the issue a year and a half ago when subject of some of this came up to D'Antonio. He says, no, we've never had problems here. And I'm sitting there and I heard him say it. I'm thinking to myself, again, I go back to my charts. How many times in recent years have I put together an off-season chart of what your team looked like coming out of the spring and had to make dramatic changes because of legal issues? I mean, I know because I sit there and I go through, I have to change it. I then take a moment. First of all, I have to look it up. Okay, why isn't he here anymore? Or why isn't he available anymore? So I look it up, and, you know, I mean, Google's a great thing. And so that is the big story here. Does it hover over the game tonight? No, but it'll be talked about by people around here tonight. So I think there are people that I don't think they're in shock here over this because, as I said, sitting in this exact hotel 2 years ago, I didn't know if he could survive. All right? I didn't know if he could. And he made it a couple seasons after that, but today he decided to step down. And then, of course, there's the basketball game tonight. I know I have interrupted what will be obviously an incredible opening statement from Bob Buehner, but
yes,
Bob, I mean, that this is breaking news.
It is breaking news.
And I know that obviously, you know, a lot of people eventually will want to get into the Roy Halladay thing. We'll do that at 4:06. That's just a nice thing that they're doing in the whole thing. This is actually news.
Yes. You know, Steve, what's interesting about D'Antonio is overall he won 67% of his games. He was 114-57, which is pretty impressive, you know, in the Big Ten. And then, but only over the last four seasons, he was only 27-24.
Right.
And as you said, there were all kinds of what are referred to as off-field issues, which covers a multitude of sins. And it looks like this Curtis Blackwell lawsuit, that wrongful termination, as you indicated, it looks like somebody dropped a dime on D'Antonio with the NCAA. That's what it appears to me.
Well, I think there's another part of this, too, though. We all knew that during this offseason, all of us knew this, that at some point he was going to have to sit down for a deposition. And it's going to be and from my understanding, and I think for most people who have, you know, followed this along the way, that the deposition was not going to be an hour.
No.
I mean, they're talking like it could be several hours that he was going to have to sit there on a wide variety of topics. He was going to have to sit down. Now, when that's going to take place, I don't know. I think at some point, just look around and say, I don't know. Now, here's the question for Michigan State. What do you do? Do you elevate someone from the staff? No offense, I find no one that's an obvious answer on this staff at this point, especially considering that they shuffled the staff a year ago. The staff got shuffled up. Hmm. I mean, the same names, but they were coaching different positions this season, which I sat there, that's very un-D'Antonio-like. He has been highly loyal to his staff over the years, and none of them were let go. But suddenly the quarterback coach is the offensive line coach. The offensive line coach is now the offensive coordinator. I mean, they had a wide range of guys that changed spots on that staff. So to me, there is no obvious choice on this staff, which now brings up, let's bring up the name that people are going to ask, will he be a candidate? And that is Pat Narduzzi.
Yeah.
I mean, that name is going to come up after the years he spent here at Michigan State. Narduzzi has had a good run, not a great run, but a good run at Pitt, and still has roots here. The question is, A, will he be a candidate, and B, will he consider it? I mean, that's the first name you're going to think of. Look, this is late in the game to get a coach.
Yeah, the normal time to do that, Steve, is usually around the NCAA football coaches convention.
Well, normally the time now, normally the time now, if you're going to make a move, make it at Thanksgiving. And the reason you want to make it at Thanksgiving is because of the early signing
date.
The early signing day has changed how people go about making their hires and adjustments. And that has a lot to do with it, because you want to give the new coach an opportunity to somehow either keep a class or which has been, look at Mississippi and Mississippi State. They both hired coaches after the previous staff recruited the people.
Yes.
Mike Leach and Lane Kiffin, I mean, both walked in and go, okay, I got all my guys. Joe Moorhead and his staff recruited Mike Leach's recruits. So this is obviously the one that now what do you do if you're Michigan State?
Well,
you go outside? Do you look at Pat Narduzzi? Do you, I mean, there's going to be an interim person, at least office-wise, takes
over. Well, it's Mike Tressel.
That's Jim Tressel's son.
I was going to say.
Brother.
Yeah. What a coincidence. Somebody has the same last name as another Tressel.
Yeah. That's what they wanted. I mean, I think that's an interim deal, though. He's not the head coach.
No, it just said acting head coach.
Acting head coach, yeah. which is what Larry Johnson was before James Franklin.
Yeah, people forget LJ had the designation of head coach with a little asterisk beside it.
Yeah, I mean, so that's what Larry Johnson was. He was the acting head coach while they were waiting to see what they wanted to do with the job and then hire James Franklin. So this is obviously a huge story, but it's a huge story that affects the Big Ten. It's a huge story that affects Penn State, because any movement within the division is going to be a big story that you have to take a long, hard look at. And this is going to be interesting to see what they want to do with this going forward.
Steve, the question comes up, what happens to all those recruits? Where are they now?
Well, this is, it's interesting because Dave Revson and I had a long talk today at Shoot Around. And, first of all, if you don't like Dave Revson, you don't like people, okay?
Right.
Dave's just one of the greatest guys out there going. And smart. And Dave and I were talking about this because the Big Ten had proposed a rule, and it was brought out, I didn't even know they'd done this until it came out last week, about a one-time transfer that allows you to go without having to sit out. And you can do that once, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about that, about the freedom, the free agency of it, and so forth. The one area where I've always felt that you've got to give a little more latitude to has always been, I signed a letter of intent and my coach left. Okay, well, something tells me that head coach certainly didn't play a small role in you going there. There are always there's usually a long list of factors. The head coach is among the factors normally when you go someplace. I mean, look at the lure of playing for a guy like James Franklin, for example. There's a lot to it. I've always felt that if you signed, I've always felt that it was the right thing to do if you were a coach, to look at them and say, hey, look, I'm going to give you the option of looking if you want. It's up to you. I'd love to have, if you believe in the guy. Look, I've seen your video. I've talked to other people. I would love to keep you. But the right thing is that I want to make sure you're sure about being here.
Well,
I mean, and I've always felt you should do that. And I, you know, that's.
Yeah, you know, think about this. A guy gets recruited out of high school. He's a bruising 240-pound fullback. And he was perfect for the offense at University X. And then the coach at University X goes, he's replaced by somebody who says, we don't want fullbacks. They're not in our office. Kind of
right.
Like a Joe Moorhead kind of guy. What's that guy to do? You know? Just, he's stuck.
Well, Penn State, it's interesting because obviously he came in and Penn State still has some guys like that.
Yeah.
Well, they moved around. Well, I mean, at one point, Brandon Smith was a fullback. I'm talking about Brandon. I'm talking about, you know.
Our this, guy,
you
know, Brandon Smith.
Yeah.
From
right?
Winfield.
Well, right, from Winfield. Ended up playing linebacker. And guess what? Being a darn good linebacker.
Amen.
So they found spots for those guys. I mean, because you have to come into the college game outside of being quarterback with some versatility. Hey, how many times, let's take an ancient example. But, I mean, people forget John Cappelletti was playing corner as a sophomore. Right? Look at Mike Gooman. Mike Gooman got a 10-year NFL career. How many different spots did he play?
About everywhere.
Yeah, he played wide out. He played tailback. He played corner. And he ended up with a 10-year career. So I think Brown came in. Everybody, defensive tackle. Why are they moving into offensive tackle? Well, in the end, he ended up being a first-round pick as an offensive tackle. But this is, this is obviously a big story. We're going to get back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, great to have you with us. We're at East Lansing, where tonight the 22nd-ranked Nittany Lion basketball team takes on number 16 Michigan State at 8 on beginning at 7:30. Mark D'Antonio takes a $4.3 million bonus 2 weeks ago and resigns today. The problem is there is a lawsuit that is hanging over all of this. We'll talk about that in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
The Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And congratulations, by the way, Matt Cotrillo. Evidently, he picked up a delegate in the Iowa caucus. All right, so let's get to it. Mark D'Antonio, and this was, there was no press conference here today. They just put out a press release this afternoon. That was it. But there's been no press conference, just so you know. He says every year he wants to reset, and he decides now's the time. Look, January 15th is critical in all this. And the reason January 15th is critical in all this is that if he is the head coach on January 15th, he gets a $4.3 million retention bonus. Michigan State has until March 31st to pay that. But he was the head coach on January 15th. So since he was 20 days ago, he was the head coach. He is due the retention bonus of $4.3 million. So that's, and they'll have to pay that. And they had reached this agreement in February of 4 years ago on a revamped contract. Now they're at a point where what's going to now happen with all this and what's going to happen outside the program with what's gone on. By the way, if D'Antonio had stayed, he would have pulled in $8.6 million in guaranteed compensation this year. He would have actually been the third highest paid coach in college football behind Dabo Swinney and Nick Saban.
I have some advice for Michigan State financial people. Two words. Stop payment.
But he was the coach. It's in the contract.
I would bet, though, Steve, that there's some other clauses in the contract that would come into play. You know, they have one of those morality clauses, et cetera, or probably clauses related to no violations of the NCAA rules during your service as head coach, et cetera.
All I know is the timing is interesting.
It is so very interesting.
Okay. Now, here is MLive.com, which has done a great job of covering this story. And here is a quote from the story. Included in the 9-page document filed by Blackwell's attorneys is a note that states, D'Antonio's sworn deposition testimony may have revealed major NCAA violations that were committed by defendant D'Antonio and MSU. Additionally, it is important to inform the court that defendant D'Antonio may have committed perjury during his deposition.
You know,
now, whether that's true or not, it is all alleged, but it's an interesting statement.
But, you know, one of the things that I really cannot stand is the use of what I refer to as weasel words, Steve. And the word may is quite the weasel word. Yeah.
Yes.
The sky may fall tomorrow. The sun may not come up tomorrow, et cetera, et cetera. He may have committed NCAA rule violations. What the heck does that mean? He either did or he didn't. And if he did, say it. If he didn't, shut up. But using that weasel word may is not trustworthy.
Well, considering that the his whether his legal team may not know all the NCAA rules and bylaws, is may a safe word?
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm asking you.
Yeah.
I mean, you're the attorney here.
Well, why put it out until you know? And, you know, if they've just sat through hours of depositions, one would have to think the attorneys for both sides would know whether or not something was committed. So I think that, Steve, my view is...
Yeah, but who wouldn't be in the room? The NCAA would not be in the room.
Right, but here's the thing. I think that's a settlement ploy by the plaintiff's lawyers against D'Antonio and Michigan State that if you don't settle this thing and we have a confidentiality clause in the settlement agreement, guess what may happen? That's
right.
That's the way I look at it.
But if you settle,
yes.
Obviously there's no fact. There's no fact here.
Exactly.
If you settle, does it give the perception of possible guilt?
It sure does, but I don't think at that point D'Antonio cares because he's gone.
Well, no, he's done.
Yeah,
right.
he's gone.
He's
but here's the other thing, guys, too. D'Antonio says in his letter to the student body, my plan is to stay on within the university and athletic department in a role involving special projects, especially transitioning our players, both current and incoming, to their next challenges. So he's put that out there too. So that just throws off to me another whole can of worms here if we're talking about a settlement or anything else that might come out.
Well,
especially if he's an employee.
You bet.
And maybe he's doing that because by doing that, you still get your $4.3 million.
Yeah, the plot thickens.
In other words, the $4.3 million retention bonus, it's January 15th, 20 days later, you step down, but you're still going to be a part of the university. Thus, I think at that point, goes to your point about stop the check. Well, you can't stop the check. He's still on the staff.
Yeah. Well, I think... It's what's interesting is that Michigan State, like the president or athletic director, hasn't come out and congratulated Coach D'Antonio for his outstanding career. You know, the kind of normal things you hear when a coach retires after a successful career.
Exactly. Now, that may come later in the day. I don't know. But it hasn't happened yet. You're right about that. Now, here's the other part. Now, of course, moving forward. You know, the two names, I think that will be... I would think that there would be three prominent names that would come out right away in terms of where they go next, as long as they don't go within the staff, which my gut feeling is they're not going to go within the staff. That's just me. All right? But the three names I would think of right away would be the obvious one, Pat Narduzzi. The next one to take a long, hard look at is Luke Fickell at Cincinnati.
Done and a very nice job.
Yep. And by the way, where did Mark D'Antonio come from? Cincinnati. And finally, the other name would be Josh Heupel at Central Florida.
He's not done a bad job, not at all.
I'm just saying, you got to throw some names out there as to, because to me, this is not a job. Okay, the Penn State, Michigan, Michigan State, and Ohio State jobs, I think for the most part now, we just saw Ohio State go up counter to what I'm about to say here. But I'm not so sure those are jobs that you elevate an assistant. Ohio State did.
Yeah.
But I think you've got to have somebody that has head coaching experience.
Well, I've got one for you, and he's already a Michigan resident at one time. Brady Hoke. Oh, that'll go over well.
That's not going to happen.
I know.
Didn't Brady take the job at San Diego State?
Don't know. But he still wants to be a college head coach. There's no doubt about it.
I think he took the San Diego State head coaching job. But no, that's not going to go over well. Brady Hoke, by the way, recruited actually very well at Michigan. He recruited very well there.
Yes.
And he left, actually. This was not a case of Jim Harbaugh walking into the cupboard is bare deal. He is the head coach of San Diego State.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then he's not going to be in the mix.
Yeah. So, it doesn't mean he can't tell San Diego State thanks, but no thanks. I will say this, after looking at freezing rain out there right now, San Diego State looks great. Just so you know.
Yeah.
Because Rocky Long retired at San Diego State. Rocky Long was not fired. He retired there, and Brady Hoke then got the job. But this is obviously this is going to be a lot of this. There's several players this surrounds. Former players, obviously. And Austin Robertson is going to be a name that you see that will come up. So here's what Blackledge's lawyers allege. Okay, this is what they allege.
Blackwell.
Blackwell's lawyers allege. Okay, this is what they allege. That Mark D'Antonio orchestrated employment for the parents of two Michigan State football players with a mega donor, whose name I can't pronounce, whose name is on the football facility. Bob Scandalaris. Okay, I think I got that. Bob Scandalaris. Okay, that's the mega donor, and his name is on the football facility. So that's one. D'Antonio at Blackwell accompanied him on a Metro Detroit home visit of an unnamed five-star recruit when Blackwell, in his role of Director of College Advancement and Performance, was not authorized to conduct off-campus visits. So that's what they're alleging, that those are the violations. So they are being specific about that. D'Antonio said in his January 10th deposition, by the way, 5 days before the retention bonus, that Blackwell never did any home visits because it would have been an NCAA violation. He said he did recall Blackwell once traveling with him to see a recruit, but that Blackwell remained in the car. Okay. So there's obviously that's his side of the story versus Blackwell's. In his filing, they say Blackwell is prepared to provide the court with an affidavit attesting to the visit of the five-star recruit, which they say can be verified by the former five-star recruit and his parents who were present during the recruiting visit. They said Blackwell declined to provide the recruit's name, though, to the Detroit News. As for the first claim, D'Antonio, in his January 10th deposition, said he never directed Blackwell to talk to Scandalaris about employment for family members of high-profile recruits, but he acknowledged that family members were hired and all were approved by Michigan State's compliance department. Blackwell's lawyers dispute that. They cite a January 21st deposition by Michigan State Compliance Officer Jennifer Smith, who said she did not recall the compliance office approving such an arrangement. See, this is all so dicey. It is such a, you're traveling down some really, he said, she said, dark alleys here. The names of the high-profile recruits in question were blacked out in Patterson's filing, which included a new to the public portion of D'Antonio's deposition transcript. Lawyers for D'Antonio, and this is all from the Detroit News, by the way, lawyers for D'Antonio, ex-athletic director Mark Hollis, ex-president Luana K. Simon, all being sued by Blackwell for wrongful termination, call the NCAA allegations not only false but totally gratuitous, according to an email from D'Antonio attorney Thomas Keimbaum to Blackwell's attorney Thomas Warnicke and Patterson. Patterson made vague NCAA violation claims in a motion filed last week responding to the lawyers for two Michigan State police detectives, whom Blackwell is also suing for wrongful arrest and seeking $5.5 million in damages. The detectives' lawyers have petitioned to depose officials with Blackwell's football camp, Sound Mind, Sound Body. All right. Keimbaum wrote to Patterson, "We demand that you withdraw the motion. We reserve the right to ask for sanctions based on the fact that you chose to malign our clients." See, this is, I mean, this is really getting deep here.
Ooh, hardball.
Well, I mean, really, I mean this is testy. All right, so now things get tested between the counsel for Blackwell and the counsel for D'Antonio and Company.
Yep.
D'Antonio's lawyers have now petitioned the court to have the case thrown out. They want Patterson fined, and they also want Patterson suspended from practicing law.
D'Antonio, I just love that stuff, Steve. Oh, my gosh. Lawyers, I mean, fighting lawyers. It doesn't get better than that.
You've never experienced this.
Oh, yes.
Hey. D'Antonio's lawyers cite continued ongoing misconduct by Blackwell and his counsel and calling for the sanctions on Patterson, saying the NCAA violations claims he made public, false, scandalous, and wholly unsupported accusations. D'Antonio's lawyers also go on to say this sham should not be allowed to continue. They have repeatedly chided Blackwell and his lawyers for excessively drawn-out discovery period. They claim information has been sought that's not relative to the case. D'Antonio's lawyers say that this is the latest in a pattern of inappropriate courtroom behavior by the attorney, citing previous cases where he has been reprimanded. Patterson was admonished by a federal judge and fined $10,000 last year when he made public MSU Police Department Detective Chad Davis's deposition transcript, despite an agreement between the two sides that the deposition would remain sealed. Patterson has called that an innocent mistake.
There's no such thing when you're talking lawsuits, Steve, as an innocent mistake.
Judge then quickly Bob sealed that Davis deposition,
right,
though many reporters already had access to it and downloaded it. Patterson, to the news, called D'Antonio's lawyers' claims frivolous and meritless.
If I can interrupt, Steve, for just one sec, Brett Murphy just tweeted out, Mark D'Antonio will hold a news conference tonight at 6:30 prior to the MSU-Penn State basketball game.
Steve, you're there.
So you're right there.
Oh,
you can cover it live.
So there you go.
I can't wait to walk over. Oh, what time are we on the air?
You're on the air at 7:30 tonight.
7:30.
I got to check and see here what the heck, what time we're even leaving this facility. I think we're supposed to actually be there by 6:30 because Pat likes to get there an hour and a half ahead of time. Hold on, let me look at TeamWorks here.
Yeah.
Suddenly I need to look at TeamWorks to see what's going on here. Do we get here in time to do this? TeamWorks. Depart for Breslin Center 6:15. Perfect.
And how close are you to the Breslin Center, Steve?
Arrive at Breslin Center at 6:25.
All right. Well, you're 10 minutes away.
Oh, good. I even have a press pass.
Oh.
This is just... All right, we'll come back with more of this soap opera in a moment. Here
absolutely.
On News Radio 1070 WKOK. After a sale in the back corner office, the suit kind of moves and crews to this, like throws his arm in the air to the rhythm of it. And according to rumors, he hasn't done that in a while. Okay, so, all right, so. Just kidding. Let's go staff. Staff's doing great. All right, so Mark D'Antonio is now going to have a press conference at 6:30. Boy, do I feel like I walked into something.
Yeah.
Gee whiz.
You're in the center of hurricane season in Michigan, that's for sure.
Well, let's get back to the story, though. The story, the Detroit News has done a great job on this, okay? Tension has been building between the parties. Really?
No,
when the lawyers for Blackwell requested to depose D'Antonio at 5 hours and 55 minutes, and they claim they want the other hour 5. They want more. Okay?
Yeah.
And D'Antonio's lawyers claim that Blackwell's lawyers wasted a significant amount of time with irrelevant questions and excessive breaks. Only selected portions have been made public. Now, I mentioned Austin Robertson, right?
Right.
He has a long history, according to this, of sexual misconduct before he went to Michigan State. He is now serving up to 10 years in prison for rape. Okay. Blackwell, by the way, worked at Michigan State from 13 to 17. Contract not renewed. We mentioned the philosophical differences. And Blackwell continues to say that he was made the fall guy for the 2017 on-campus party where three Michigan State football players allegedly sexually assaulted a female. Michigan State police accused Blackwell of obstructing the investigation, which included more than 100 witness interviews, and eventually led to a pled-down conviction and removal from the team for the three football players. Blackwell said MSU was eager to make a big statement regarding sexual misconduct, especially under the cloud of the Larry Nassar scandal. The other side has expressed an interest in settling the lawsuit, which was originally filed in November 2018. Michigan State officials have not responded to a request for a comment.
You know, Steve, what strikes me is simply this. Mr. Blackwell had a year-to-year contract. The contract was over for that year. They didn't sign a new one. The contract was done. I don't see how you can successfully go with a breach of contract lawsuit when there's no contract, for heaven's sakes.
See, and I agree with you on that, Bob. I think that part is very... And by the way, Tony Paul of the Detroit News is the one that wrote that article. I want to make sure we get Tony's name in there.
He did a great job. They must have been working on this, Steve, for a while. I'm sure they had this ready to go when the moment was right.
Well... But you're right about if it's a year-to-year contract, which it seems like if you read between the lines it was, when your contract's up June 30th, they don't have to renew you.
No. So, weird. Very weird.
All right, today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors.